Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather her children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Oh, how I wish you would recognize me for who I am. That you would realize that I could provide for you. I can comfort you. And I can protect you. Because that is what a mother hen does. She gathers her chicks under her wings. This is a part of her mothering and protecting her chicks. When there is danger, she warns them. She gathers them under her wings, and as part of the mother protecting, there's a threat. The mother hen will warn with a loud clucking, call for them to seek shelter. The chicks will hurry to her and hide under her wing. This is where she protects, warms, and comforts her young, puts them at ease. The mother hen protects her chicks from several different predators. She has been known to defend her chicks from larger birds, from cats, from dogs, from coyotes. A hen versus a coyote. Now that seems a little intimidating, I would think. Pecking, biting, flapping her wings and using her sharp claws. Anything, doing anything to protect her young. The loving care and courage of protecting, the protection of a mother hen. Lee Job was a co-worker of mine, and he shared a story. Seems like his father wanted to take the family out to visit a farm. The father ends up in the pig lot. Picks up a squealing little piglet. Hey, Lee, look at this cute little pig. He had no idea what kind of danger he was in. He was the target of a very protective sow. Fortunately, he realized the situation. I understand he threw the piglet at the sow and ran for his life. There's a strong bond between a sow and her litter. She provides for their needs, protects them from harm. Of course, you don't want to follow this analogy too far for at least two reasons I can think of. The first reason is pigs are cannibalistic, and that could get pretty ugly. The second reason, although Samson did refer to his heifer, comparing a family member to livestock could get uglier than the first reason. In Exodus, the first chapter, Pharaoh was concerned about the Hebrew population. They're growing. They're going to overcome us if we're not careful. So he has a tragic plan. In Exodus 1 and 22, Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast it into the river. Well, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid. They were not intimidated by the king's command. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, was not intimidated by that, not by the plan. Think of the trouble. Think of the effort. Think of the planning that she had to hide perhaps even her pregnancy and then her child for 3 months. She cared and protected Moses for as long as possible. Then she placed Moses in the Nile. Jochebed put her trust in God. How difficult this must have been for her to place her son in the Nile. How blessed she was to be hired to care for her son. What a beautiful situation that is. In 2 Kings 2 and 16, there were two women that lived in the same house. They both had children. They both had babies. One baby was 3 days older than the other. And one of the babies died because the mother rolled over on the baby and killed the baby. Well, the two women, you're familiar with this story, were fighting over the live baby. The live one's mine. No, the dead one's yours. Then the king said, bring me a sword. They brought this before the king. So they brought him a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king. She yearned with compassion to her son. Oh, my Lord, give the living child to the other woman. No. Cut him in half. If she can't have a baby, I can't either. What a terrible heart that woman must have had. No, my Lord, give the living child to her. It was easy to see who the real mother was. The real mother was willing to give up her child just so the child would live, doing anything to save his life. In Genesis chapter 3, we have Adam and Eve. They have sinned. And to the punishment of the woman in Genesis 3:16, the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Chisholm here today? No. Chisholm and Lauren Spencer. Lauren has assisted in several deliveries, and I discussed this with her a little bit. Do most women think it's worth it? When the pain is intense, it may be questionable. I had one woman share with me, I'm so mad at Eve. But Lauren says, God has programmed our mind to forget the pain. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. In John 16:21, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Many mothers have experienced the tragedy of the loss of a child. This is a very sad time, and my heart goes out to all of you. I am reminded of the words of King David at the death of his son, when he said in 2 Samuel 12 and 23, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. What a beautiful thought. The child's not coming back to me, but I can go to the child. I have grandchildren that I will be excited to meet and spend eternity with them. Back to Adam and Eve. For Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. There was not a suitable helper. There was not found a helper fit for him. Adam needed help, and he needed a companion. And God answered this with a wife. In Ephesians 4 and 6, it says, "Fathers, bring up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord." The mothers can be a tremendous help with this. The mother, the wife, is a team player. One of the parents. She's the mother. That's a parent. She is not. Get this. She is not one of the children. Motherhood comes with responsibility and should be respected. Fathers should respect the role given to mothers and teach their children to have the same respect for their mother. If the father disrespects the mother, the children will learn to do so and lead the children to disrespect the God-given role to motherhood. Years ago, I felt that my wife was not being appreciated enough. And I started asking some questions. How much do you think it would cost to hire a tutor? What would it cost to take all your clothes to a laundromat? How expensive would it be to eat out every meal? Or the cost and time it would take to call a cab when you needed a ride. Not only would this be very expensive, it would also be a very lonely life and upbringing. Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. In verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Motherhood is priceless. Her husband appreciates her and trusts her. Her children know and love her for her devotion, her kindness, her wisdom, her ability to make the home a loving home. She makes the home welcoming, a welcoming place that creates peace, comfort, security, and love. And motherhood comes with authority. Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Obedience to the parents, mom and dad. Wait until your father gets home. Could be appropriate in some ways. Now, of course, my father got home at 1 o'clock in the morning. That was ugly. But it does not diminish the authority of the mother. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Mothers are a part of that. Deuteronomy 6 and 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. Again, mothers are involved. You know, Paul was very impressed with Timothy's mother and grandmother. He writes, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also." The influence of your mother, the influence of your grandmother, and the effects that they have on you. Timothy was influenced by their teaching and by their examples. Richard Riggins, I was in a couple study. A bunch of us got together and invited different speakers. And get this, a couple study. And Richard was invited to share some thoughts. And he began with a question about, he questioned us, he asked the love between a mother and child. And Richard was insistent on an answer. And I'm sitting there thinking, Richard, this is a couple study. This, did you understand the, how foolish to question Richard Riggins. He was insistent, looking on the answer, and then the answer surfaced. He smiled and he says, the mother supplies all the needs of the child. And with this thought, he went on to say, that's what mates should do. They should supply all the needs of your mate. Let's focus on the path of pregnancy, the mood swings, the morning sickness, the swelling body parts, the ankles, the feet, the hands, the back pain. You know, it takes two or three attempts before you accomplish the task of getting out of bed. The frequent trips to the bathroom, that's why you're trying to get out of bed. The food cravings, the heartburn, the tiredness, the lack of energy, and we celebrate pregnancy for the joy that a human being had been born into the world. A child is born. The pain has subsided. The baby takes their first breath. The mother is handed her child that she has been carrying for months. The baby lays on the mom for the first time. Mom's body against the child helps maintain the baby's temperature. As they lay together, the breathing and the heart rate stabilizes. Anxiety, stress, is calmed by the contact of the celebrating mother, the tender bonding and love of a child and their mother. What a beautiful blessing from God. Moms and dads can be equally effective and loving parents. Kim and I both love our children dearly. Kim seems to be a little more insightful than I am. She might tell me something about one of the children, and my response might be, what? Children can have a great relationship with both parents, but the relation of a ship of a loving mother is special. I was asked to speak on motherhood. My first response was, what do I know about motherhood? Then comments were shared about the women in my family. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. As a husband, I have been very blessed. God has blessed me with a helper that is priceless. I have been told, I had a guy over from work, he helped me out, and he watched my family work together. He shook his head, Jay, you have no idea what you have. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Her children call her blessed. Recently, one of them told me, I think Mom's the smartest woman I know. They continue to seek her advice. I trust Kim. I praise her. She's been a tremendous help. As a child, I have been very blessed. My father worked two jobs for several years. His primary job was second shift. That made our family meal breakfast. Thanks, Mom, for a hot breakfast every morning. Those were great memories. Thanks, Mom, for the Bible stories and the family prayers that we had every night. Thanks for making home a special place that I wanted to be. I was excited when I walked in. I'd get home from school. I'm home! Because I was excited to be there, where there was security, comfort, and love. Thanks, Mom, for the laughs that we have shared. Thanks for encouraging me when I needed it, pointing out my strengths and helping me with my struggles, for caring for me when I was sick or injured, for disciplining me when it was necessary. The list goes on and on and on. Thanks, Mom. Matthew 10 and 37, Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." I love my mom because of Jesus. Jesus has taught and demonstrated how to care for, how to love, how to provide, how to protect. All of these traits apply to motherhood. Elizabeth George, she writes, "What is a godly mother? A godly mother is one who loves the Lord her God with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then passionately, consistently, and unrelentingly teaches her children to do the same."